this is Mike with the Nerd Louisville Podcast, and I'm here with the Louisville Pinball League. And as I understand it, you guys are involved with also the Arcade Expo and more, I take it. Before I start asking you questions, why don't I go around counterclockwise and just introduce yourself and tell us who you are?
I'm Janet Stevens from Louisville, Kentucky.
I'm Ant Swedig from Louisville, Kentucky, and you're sitting in my house right now.
I'm Jason Bradley, and I'm from Owensboro, Kentucky, and I'm sitting in Ant's house right now.
I'm Chris Renninger, and I'm from Louisville, Kentucky.
I like how, like, when I was doing the sound checks, you guys were loud as
fuck. Yeah, now we're being quiet.
And then, like, suddenly...
We're all nervous now.
And now I have to... clearly, I have to adjust my levels because you guys are shy now,
this
suddenly.
This is recording. I'm sorry. This is going out loud to the internet. It kind of makes me nervous.
Well, it's not going out live. I'm going to take this home, and I'm going to cut out all the terrible parts, which I imagine is, like... 3/4 of this podcast is going to be.
It's going to be a 5-minute episode.
Which one of you guys started the Louisville Pinball League?
I did. No. So I guess the backstory is it kind of was like a snowball that just rolled into a giant, giant snowball boulder.
That's very evocative.
Yeah. So Jason Bradley and I, about, 7 years ago, maybe?
I think it was in 2010.
So about 6 years ago, we started hanging out at Ants' place, Zanzibar, which is one of the best bars in
the
world.
Is it Ants? Is that?
It's Ants.
A-N-Z.
I like that.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
That better.
Is it's that your Christian Ants. Name?
Ants.
Is that,
it's my pagan name.
Oh, even better. Yeah. Even fucking better. Have you guys seen The Last Kingdom? Oh, it's so good. It's a show about Bernard Cornwell's stories about pagans and Christians. Anyways, so you own Zanzibar?
Yeah. I mean, like Chris was saying, I mean, we started this. The league just spawned off of tournaments. Yeah. We were doing Tuesday night tournaments for years, and then all of a sudden...
Why did you fucking have pinball machines in Zanzibar in the first place?
We just love our old arcade games, and then it just kind of...
Yeah, because I was just in your basement, and it is completely full of pinball machines.
I know. I have a serious problem.
So why, like, how did you get into pinball in the first place?
It all came from arcade games. We all are arcade game freaks. Like, there's some people that aren't. Pinball.
Janet is raising her hand.
Pinball people are not.
I'm a pinball purist.
Yeah, we're not pure. We're pure evil.
Okay.
But we love
arcade
games.
Well, you're pagan, so clearly.
Well, yeah. I go either way.
If you start collecting arcade machines pretty seriously, eventually you are going to run into a pinball machine that you're going to get really cheap or for free or whatever, and then you're going to get the bug, and then you're going to start collecting pinball machines. So the first stage, I think, is probably consoles. Second stage is collecting arcade machines, and when you get so many of them, you have to start collecting pinball machines.
Now, I do have...
It's just where the fun's at. That's what it boils down to. I mean, we love arcade games.
Is that your guys' tagline?
Yeah.
It's where the fun's at.
Yeah.
Pinball League of Louisville.
No.
Anybody can play pinball and feel like they're fairly decent at it, but you get...
That's true, because I played with Catherine at the Arcade Expo, and I haven't played pinball in about, I don't know, 10 years, and I beat her, and she's in a league.
But she's pretty terrible.
She beat me 2 out of 3, but I do have that one single win under my, you know... I went home and I ordered a patch off the internet for it.
It's definitely less brutal than, let's say, starting off on Donkey Kong, which will kill you on the first board if you've never played it before. And you'll never get past the first board until you play it 100 times.
Yeah.
Pinball, you can sit around and play it.
There's no flailing around on an arcade machine. You either know how to play it or you don't.
Right.
You walk up to a pinball machine, a little 7-year-old kid can beat you.
Can beat you.
Yeah.
You
never
Hold
know.
On, say that louder, Janet.
There's a lot of luck involved in
Give
foosball.
Janet the microphone.
I will endorse it as an indoor recreational sport, but there is a lot of luck. I mean, there's not one game that's the same.
But you can tell the skill level of a player based on how he nudges it or shakes it.
This whole luck conversation has me slightly offended because... of the skill level involved in actually doing something on a pinball machine. Anybody can flail about and lose their ball in 22 seconds, which is what I did in 1986 when I was playing my brother. But if you have a skill level and you're standing there for hours on end on, you know, your same credits, that's totally different than playing a video game. I'm not a video game person.
But every time Janet beats me, I consider it luck. So,
yeah, I think
because she's a woman, is that?
Does it affect your
manhood?
Because she gets upset like that.
That wasn't the point I was making. I wasn't saying any little, you know, in any generic situation you can walk up and flail around and get a great score. It does happen sometimes, though. You know,
sure.
A 10-year-old kid that's never played pinball, seen a pinball machine, can walk up to one.
What you're telling me is you guys were like, this is a game we don't suck at. Let's start a league.
Well, no, not really. I think our first machine was Ted Nugent, Stern Ted Nugent, and I just looked up and I was like, nobody's really, you know, hammering out games on Joust anymore. They're playing this Ted Nugent pinball machine. We got another one, we got another one, we got another one. Then the pinball machines just took over. It's more of a, I don't know, it was just very attractive at the time.
It's more social, I think, in that.
It really is.
In that when you drain a ball in pinball, the game stops until someone goes back up to the machine. In an arcade machine, when player one dies, player two better be right there, or it's game over. You know, you're going to lose your man.
That's a good point. I've never even considered, like, with pinball games, because it does have a cadence, I think, that is applicable for, like, a bar setting where, like, someone might be getting a drink or taking a piss. Or
it's a rare breed to like both and collect both. I mean, most people are either strictly pinball or strictly arcade game. You just happen to be in a little crew right here that's, you know, a mixture of both.
Addicted to both, really.
Yeah.
But what I was saying earlier, so pinball is a very social game. Like, you know, you get two people, three people, four people together. You're just hanging out, playing, you know. One person's playing, the other three people are talking either about how terrible he's playing or how, you know, how much they're going to try to beat him.
Or her,
I'm sorry. And so to back up a little bit, what happened is Jason and I were starting to hang out there all the time on Fridays. And Ants has a tournament on Tuesday nights, but it's at 10 o'clock at night. And
I feel like I saw those online. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm not going to go out at 10 o'clock
at night to
begin a tournament. Not to like, when the awards are announced or
so
whatever.
So for us over 30 and reasonable crowd, which is what they called us at one point, you know, we come up there on Fridays immediately after work. And we started, you know, we would hang out and play. And there was like 8-10 of us to begin with.
Sure.
And we were like, you know what? We're going to have our own tournament on Friday nights. Who cares about this Tuesday night tournament? We started joking about it. So we started doing our own tournament on Friday. And Ants is like, this is rogue. I don't sanction this. This is just a rogue tournament. I'm not going to sanction this. This isn't part of the bar. So Jason and I started calling it the rogue tournaments or rogue league.
Sure.
Then we got into the rogue league. And then, like I said, it just started snowballing to where Jason and I went from, you know, having a couple of us doing a couple of little tournaments on Fridays to where we were like, you know what? Let's actually do a league.
Okay.
And then that's where it is now, is Jason and I and Ants are running an entire league.
So, Jason, like, I saw at Arcade Expo, I saw a collectible pinball card or something that has your face on it.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. What?
Is that not a real? Did I imagine? Was I drunk?
That's a made up story.
No, well, yeah, they call me the pinball king of Louisville, and they made.
Who calls you that?
Well,
they?
I don't know.
They.
Well, evidently Billy Mitchell and
everyone
Walter
calls
Dave
you the PKOL.
Yeah,
everyone,
whatever,
that knows you.
So I saw it's like a baseball card.
Yeah, right. It's like
it has your face on it, and I read the back. There was like an elaborate, evocative description of you and your pinball skills.
I would love to know who wrote that.
It's all completely untrue.
Well, the funny thing about that is that the whole thing got started when Ants and I went to the Chicago Pinball Expo, I don't know, 5 years ago. And I was playing this game, this old wood rail pinball machine. from like
what is
the
that?
30s.
What's a wood rail?
A wood rail, like back before they had, like that one right there has metal rails on the sides.
Yeah, no one can see that on the podcast. So describe.
I'm explaining it to you. It's a regular pinball machine has metal on the sides to hold the glass top on, right?
Yeah.
So yep. Back before that, they had wooden rails on the side to hold the glass top on.
Oh, okay.
And that was, you're talking like 40s era, 30s, 40s. They had, yep. And then I think the first metal one was it in the 50s? I don't even know. I think it was it Egghead, I think?
I think you were playing Harbor Lights. Wasn't it Harbor Lights? Because
no, it was another one. It was called Fleet something, I think. I can't remember exactly the name of it, but it was an old school pinball machine.
We're getting really deep into nerdy like territory here.
Well, anyways, I played this old pinball machine, and on really old ones, all it did for the score was it lit up different pieces of the back glass that had numbers on
there. There are no scores.
For scores.
Oh,
just
lights
up a bowl. You had to add up like an abacus or whatever. You had
I
to
see.
Add up
yeah.
all the numbers that were in the picture.
Okay.
And I lit all the lights up. Like, I basically got to the end of the pinball machine, which I didn't know you could
do.
Yeah,
so it's like a console game where you can beat the pinball
right.
machine, essentially.
And I didn't know what was going on. It's the first one I ever did. And the guy that owned it was sitting there next to him. And he looks over at Ants while I'm still playing. He goes,
he's like, I'm
going to
make a baseball card of you.
He goes, who is this guy?
I told the guy, I said, you don't know who that is? I was like, that's the pinball king of Louisville.
Oh,
I was like, that's
God.
Jason Bradley. And he was like, really? And then he played another 20 minutes and just destroyed this machine.
Yeah, so that kind of perpetuated into this big, like, inside joke, I think is what it is. And
I love that you have a card dedicated to, like, just an inside joke.
It is. And it was really
it's
surreal.
Amazing.
I've seen it. I was like, you weren't even involved. It wasn't like you walked up to me like, hey, check out my card. I got
no.
it from a third party.
Well, the thing is I didn't even know about it until they had them on a table. They were like, look at this. And then I had to, I was talking to somebody, I think I was talking to you, and they came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, come in here real quick. So I ran in. It was an auditorium full of people, and they were ushering me on stage to be presented with this big award. And I was like,
oh my
what?
God.
What did I do?
That's amazing. You had a cult following after that?
I guess. I don't know.
There's t-shirts. There's PKOL t-shirts. There's coffee
You
mugs.
Have a whole media conglomerate just based around
guess.
Your namesake. Okay, so you guys started the pinball league. And you, I presume, eventually decided this rogue league was going to become official.
Yeah, the story is not accurate, but...
Really?
This is the point of contention between me and Chris and Ants. Ants actually, it was rogue only for a little bit. Ants totally was behind it from, you know, pretty much almost the get-go. But in the very beginning, I don't think he really wanted us to do it.
It was just their hesitation on doing 10:30-ish, 11 o'clock sometimes.
Right,
on Tuesday nights, you know.
Which makes sense. I mean, I'm with you guys.
But we're bar
like
people,
Friday,
man.
I'm
you
like,
know,
okay.
That's just the hours we keep. And yeah. They are 9-to-5ers and they go to bed a little earlier than
so
us.
So, Janet, how did you, like, once the league got started, how did you get involved with it? Or how did you know these guys originally, or did you just hear about this through elsewhere?
I heard about tournaments on Friday from my cousin. And she said they even let her play, and she's terrible. So so I decided to go up there and just do a check it out kind of thing, play some pinball. I used to
play.
Was
this like your first time ever
Lord,
playing?
No.
Or?
I'm a veteran.
You're a what?
I'm a veteran pinball player. I've been playing
what?
Since I was 16. I've been playing for 30 years.
Really?
Yes.
So you're like, oh, there's some chumps up here at Zanzibar. I guess I'll go.
Well, I
did you put some money down on the first game and come in and hustle them?
What I did is the first probably 6 or 8 weeks that I was there, I didn't play in the tournament. I just went up there and started playing to get back into playing pinball because I hadn't played in seriously in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go up there and do a check it out kind of things to see how good I was or how bad I was, as it turns out. And I didn't want to play in the tournaments because I knew that there were people in the tournaments that knew me before when I was good. So I didn't want to be embarrassed.
You
don't
have like preconceived notions.
Yeah,
like, okay.
I didn't want to be embarrassed. So I played for weeks and weeks and weeks before I decided to actually play.
Wait, so you were like a legendary pinball player back when you were 16?
I don't.
Did you have
no,
a baseball
not when
card
I was 16.
Also?
No, and I don't have a baseball card, no.
You just, I don't think the trick to getting a card is being good. I think it's to just...
think it's
like create a legend
folklore
yeah
basically.
Exactly
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a myth.
Okay, so like you came in and joined. Was that the first, like, I guess, season? Do you guys have seasons?
Well,
we do
I
now.
Started doing,
yeah, we do now.
It was.
Back then, it was a constant running tournament. We just called it a league. It wasn't really a league.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were playing in tournaments, and we played tournaments on Friday. Probably.
And what's a tournament? Like, what is that?
So what a tournament means is, you know, like an NCAA bracket, a bracket-style tournament.
Okay.
Where you,
yeah.
But it would be double elimination. So say you have
right.
12 players, you play in a double elimination bracket, and so if you lose, you go to the loser's bracket.
Sure.
And the winner of the loser's bracket will meet the winner of the winner's bracket to play. And, you know, we'll throw in...
It's all random.
Yeah.
You know, you could have... It doesn't matter the amount of people. You could have 20 people. You could have 11 people. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you're randomly assigned a machine. You're
yeah, I was
randomly...
going to ask, like, are these just, like... Are there people just coming in off the street?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. At the beginning, it was.
When we
yes.
draw the brackets up every Tuesday night or Friday, the way Fridays used to be, we would walk and ask every patron in the whole bar, are you playing the tournament tonight?
You want to play in the tournament?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And we still do that in between league seasons.
Oh, yes. Okay.
On Friday.
Gotcha.
So basically, there's two tournaments on Fridays and Tuesdays, but when league is on Fridays, it's strictly league.
Yeah,
and then you know you pick your own machine during the league. There's no outside people can play those machines.
Back to my story. So I wouldn't play in the tournaments until I felt ready,
mm-hmm.
and then I played in tournaments for probably what was it, almost a year, I guess, before yeah. we actually started in the league. And then I had played in league in California when I lived there, so I was kind of used to that scenario.
Sure, yeah.
Back to how we run the tournaments. It's easy. Like he said, the brackets everyone's familiar with, double elimination. We do a buy-in. We pay out first, second, and third. We never pay fourth. And it's random assignment of the person you play. It's always just you against somebody else.
So you don't have like rankings where like...
No rankings, no seeding, nothing
yeah, okay.
on just regular tournaments.
Gotcha.
And then... You're randomly assigned a machine to play. You come back and report to whoever's running the tournament. It's usually me, Chris, mm-hmm. Jason, my brother. Everyone's familiar with the format that we use, so anyone can really input the results. It's just really fun.
What do you mean by
if you're looking for something different to do, it's just really fun, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when I first heard about it, I had no... I mean, obviously, I had no idea. Like, I kind of seen that you guys had pinball... like on Facebook or something for Zanzibar, but I didn't know there was like a whole league.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the
like
level of
it.
Madness that Jason and I have put ourselves into because of this. So what I was going to say is with the tournaments, so we would do little tournaments on Fridays and, you know, the same thing on Tuesdays where you just come in, it's just a one-off, you know, you go and you have fun and then you're out. And then we were like, well, let's do this where we'll have monthly standings where we'll play a tournament every Friday, and if you show up, you get points. And at the end of the month, on Tuesdays, they pay out first, second, and third, and
mm-hmm.
put in like $5.
He'd withhold money.
Yeah,
okay.
And so on Fridays, we did, this is rogue, so winner takes all.
Ah,
I so
see.
There wasn't no first, second, or third. You either won or you didn't win.
Nice.
And then we would stipend a dollar out is how we would start. And at the end of the month, you got points based on how well you did.
Right, and whoever had, like, the highest
and
score
whoever
overall.
Had the, no, so the top four people at the end of the month would play for that dollar stipend.
Oh, okay.
And then
it was
we
six,
were like,
wasn't it?
Was it?
Because we played
oh,
on
yeah,
$6 million man.
Mil,
yeah.
Yes, it was six people at first.
Okay.
And then we were like, well, this is stupid. Let's just do a league now. And that's so that was the progression. Went.
It was basically a league anyways, more or less. We were trying to reward the people that were showing up every week, and
right.
we had to figure out a way to do that.
Yeah.
And really, the league was a natural progression from what we were already doing anyways. And we looked at what Chicago was doing, what the Baltimore, D.C. area was doing, which is what we based our rules on, which is the Free State Pinball Free State Pinball Association. And then kind of partially on Chicago's rules as well.
How many seasons have you guys done thus far?
This will be
like
our
official.
This will be our fourth.
Our fourth season.
Yeah.
Fourth season. And how long does the season last?
It's eight weeks.
Yeah. Okay. And you, is there, how long is the break between?
It depends because, you know, you get into seasons and like this past one, the one previous to it, or I mean this past season, right before we started up, it was like Christmas time and Thanksgiving, you
sure.
know, and there's so many things people are going and leaving. So we we kind of delayed that because of it. So
we have our freedoms with when we want to start these leagues back up after the end. It's not super
so
hardcore.
It's not very rigid scheduling. You're just like, well, it feels about like the right time to start up a league.
Like this last one, we decided to end it at the expo. We thought it would be cool to have the last night of it at the expo and the tournament at the expo on all these cool machines that people were bringing. And then the one after that, the next one that's coming up, we decided to start it after spring break was over for everybody because we're trying to maximize the number of people and like that aren't going to be.
Jason's there. Talking about Louisville Arcade Expo.
Yeah, which
just in case you didn't know,
you know, just to like touch on that for a minute because, like I said, I got to sneak in and take advantage of.
We don't want to know
a
that
secret little back door into the Arcade Expo, which I thought it kind of blew me away because I'd never been before. And I kind of like, well, you know, even though I'm like interested in this nerdy stuff, I'm like, but then when I went in, like I was blown away.
Yeah,
it was phenomenal.
The guys that run it, Jeremy and Matt Flights and Joe Stith are the most amazing guys you'll ever meet. And they take this shit seriously.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. Like I went into the little side rooms and they were like, 10-year-olds playing these old console games that were just like from my childhood and they were enamored with it.
12-year-old on Unreal Tournament. I'm like, you weren't even alive in Unreal Tournament.
Exactly. I saw
some people
playing the original like Halo Combat Evolved and I'm just like, this is crazy. It's blowing my mind.
There was a line for Atari 2600 games, like people standing up in line for to play combat tournament, you know? I mean, that's a game that came with the 2600 that everyone didn't play.
And the vibe was awesome because it felt like a huge arcade, basically.
It's every console game you ever saw growing up. And we're all, well, hell, I'm the oldest person here. I'm almost 50. Every console game you've ever seen.
You were really fucking handsome for 50 years old.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
He's sexy.
I saw every your naked picture on the wall.
Every arcade game that you could. If you name an arcade game, one of us owns it. Anything from the late 70s, early 80s. And then it transitions into a huge line of pinball machines. Every single damn pinball machine up to current, like, you know, up to the year 2016. They're all there. And
yeah. And I saw some really cool old-looking pinball machines. I saw newer ones.
That's the beauty of it. And there's an expert there for every one of those little angles that they take at the Louisville Arcade Expo. It just kind of sets it apart from all the other expos.
And you just pay and you go in and play, right? There's no, like,
it's one entry fee. All the games are on free play. It's an amazing event.
I'm pretty sure it's also the only one with vintage computers too.
Yeah, that's what
like
I'm
most
saying.
Most of them have like consoles and arcades and pens. Like some of them
Apple
do. Like
twos and.
But yeah, you can go and play Oregon Trail. I mean, there was.
Yeah, I actually saw some kids playing that. I was like, what?
Yeah,
like there are way better games.
It's an IFPA sanctioned event as well.
What does that mean?
You can International Flipper Pinball Association. They have a huge. It's one of the things on their tour. It's a huge pinball.
Is
tournament.
Their logo a dolphin?
It should be. No.
It should be.
No.
IFPA is like
call me,
a great idea.
Call me LFPA.
Yeah. IFPA is like the World Pinball Ranking Association. So the guys that are... So we're just interested in having fun, drinking beer, and playing. But the guys that are like world ranked in IFPA, they travel to different cities and play in these huge tournaments.
Right.
To be number one in the world. And Louisville Arcade Expo is one of the stops in PAPA, which is another professional amateur pinball association.
Yep.
It's one of their stops on their big circuit events before their world championship. And it happens to be their last event before the world championship.
Mm-hmm.
So all the really big heavy hitters from pinball come to Louisville to play. So,
which is awesome. Yeah, there was like some guy in like a... Evil Knievel suit or something that like apparently people he's like a big deal that I saw people taking pictures with.
Are you talking about Billy Mitchell?
Yes.
The guy in the white suit.
Yeah, he's like King of Kong. What's that documentary?
King of Kong. Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually played the first perfect game of Pac-Man, which is every single point that you can get on Pac-Man and get to the upside down kill screen.
Louisville Arcade Expo was awesome. Tell me about like getting back to the Louisville Pinball League. It could be intimidating for like someone who's not, you know, you guys all sound like pinball champions. It seems back in the day, playing pinball your whole lives. Like, what about someone who's just like casually interested in pinball.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to be intimidated by it at all, because the way we have it set up is you play with people of your skill level. And mm-hmm. I don't mean that to be derogatory towards anybody that just like comes in off the street and wants to play.
Sure.
The way we set it up is you want to come in, we're just there to have a good time. So we want people to play with similar people of their skill level. Mm-hmm. So each week you get ranked differently based on your play. That way, towards the end of it, you're in the whole time you're playing with people of similar skill level to you. So you're not playing.
Who's the best pinball player in this? Out of the four of you.
In this table? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, at the table?
Chris. No, actually, it would be a good, right now, I think it would be a good game between, we should do that.
I think Janet is the best. We can.
I beat her last time I played.
Janet, we can have a little mini tournament right now if you want
is
to.
Is it true, no, Janet? You did beat are you the best player?
I would say overall, historically, Janet kills Chris, absolutely slaughters him. But
disagree.
I would say, no. I mean, if you look at her past performance, come on, you know that. But
it really
currently,
does.
I think
it's just
a good match.
It just depends on the. It just depends on the machine.
Like the people who aren't here, like the podcast audience, Chris is getting really angry right now. Like his face is turning.
Janet
red.
And I are very competitive against one another because
I think overall Janet's got him, but you isolate them down onto a couple machines. Yeah, he would. But
yeah, it depends on the machine. If it's Star Trek Next Generation, Chris has got it. Yeah. If it's Funhouse, Janet's got it.
Well, she owns a Funhouse.
Wait, what do you mean it depends on them?
So each game has a different rule set. So
there's 13 games at Zanzibar.
And I'll beat you on every single one. And
shit's heating up here on the Nerd Global Podcast.
The only one that you beat me consistently on
Dolly,
consistently
six mil,
is 6
Adam's
no,
Family.
No, it's Star Trek Next Gen.
I lose track because I beat you on all of them.
Hold on. Correct the record, Janet.
I beat you more often than not because you freak out when you play me. You get all nervous. You do.
I mean, he's kind of freaking out right now. I can imagine.
That's what makes this
Wait. Can we, resolve this tonight?
Oh, yes. We have a next generation pinball machine in the basement right now.
No, neutral machine. Random.
We're gonna resolve this tonight, but who won the league last season?
Paragon.
I came in second. What'd you come in, Janet?
I don't know, but last season before that, I won the tournament. Did you ever win the tournament at the end of the season?
I don't think so.
Nobody knows who won last season.
Or Booski, as we call him.
One of my employees at the bar, his name is we call him Booski. His name is Drew Donahue. He won the Kentucky State, which is unfucking believable. I mean, he should not have won. He was butted up against the number 10th ranked player in the world, and he beat this dude,
Trent Augustine.
He beat him 4-2.
Wow.
It was just ridiculous.
Awesome.
It's a best out of seven kind of deal in these big, huge IFPA tournaments.
Hey, how about that?
He won the Kentucky State. Well, check it out, you guys.
Hey,
he won the Kentucky State. He qualified for the Nationals. He's one of 35 people in the country that qualified for the Nationals.
That's
so
awesome.
So last week.
It sounds really impressive.
It's very impressive.
I don't know what it means, but it does sound really impressive.
This is this kid's first tournament. First major tournament.
So is he been in the league for a while? Or
He's a natural pinball player. Yeah, he's been in the league.
It's like going from racing go-karts one day to going to the Daytona 500 the next day.
Wow.
He actually races go-karts.
He's really good.
That's a great analogy.
He really does race go-karts, and they've actually made flyers of him, and they say...
So this guy's just a savant.
Beat the flying tomato because he's got red hair. Yeah, he is a savant. He's the most...
Janet's kind of rolling her eyes over here a little
bit. He is
bit
one of the most talented kids I've ever met. But listen to this. So he goes and qualifies for the Nationals. We all traveled to Vegas with him to watch him play the Nationals at the...
The whole league went?
Well, part of the league went. There was like five or six of us.
The wealthier part of the league.
Yeah, the rich kid. All the rich kids went.
The ones that didn't have jobs, all the people
that own Zanzibar went.
The people have indispensable vacation time went.
Did I mention we paid for the airfare with all quarters? Is that weird? Sorry. But yeah, so we all went out to Vegas and watched him play in the Nationals, and he did as good as you would think he would do. You know?
Yeah, that's
35
awesome.
Top players in the world he's competing against. He lasted a day. That's pretty damn good. And when you're up against those kind of players.
Do you have any like dark, deep secrets from that Vegas trip that you want to tell us about on this podcast?
I got robbed.
What are you
saying? I got robbed in Vegas.
Like at gunpoint?
Yeah, and actually during the tournament I was sick, so I didn't even get to go to the
you were like FaceTiming with somebody that was at the tournament?
It was on Twitch.
And then you got robbed in your hotel room somehow while you were sick?
Yeah, we got robbed, yeah.
That's a pretty...
While we were sleeping.
While you were sleeping, yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Never experienced anything like that in my life.
Vegas.
It's pretty scary.
What happens in Vegas? That's
anyway, I, my whole point in telling you this was... Is that for Drew to jump in a tournament, cold feet, never did it before, never competed on that level, for him to take the prize in Louisville and win the Kentucky State is a huge deal.
Yeah, that's so. Have any of you like entered a sort of non Louisville pinball league tournaments?
I played.
I think we've all been in tournaments.
We've all been in the tournament. So one of the other, I'm sorry.
No.
One of the other reasons we started up a league was for the same fact. So with IFPA has a state championship every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kentucky State Championship was being held in Cincinnati.
That's weird.
Exactly.
Because that's not
because
in
it's
Kentucky.
Like, because they kind of had that Northern Kentucky thing. They kind of annexed the cool. Cincinnati people, kind of annexed Kentucky.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And we were like, this is stupid. We want the Kentucky Championship to be in Kentucky.
Yeah.
So we started up the league for the simple fact to get IFPA points.
Sure.
And so we started doing that to get points so we could have it in Louisville. And this past year was the first time we had it in Louisville. I went the year previous, last year, to the state championship in Cincinnati. I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm the only person from Kentucky in this championship. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Oh, and Derek Fugate. Yeah, so you have to qualify. You have to play in so many IFPA-sanctioned events to be considered for the state championship, and only the top 16 qualify for it. And the only tournament that was held in the state of Kentucky was at Louisville Arcade Expo. So now,
like, the Louisville Pinball League, the tournaments that you guys put on are sanctioned tournaments.
Yes. Now they are. Yes. They're sanctioned IFPA events. So
as
you get...
As of this next league.
Yes. You get points. Okay. And on the Tuesday nights as well, you get IFPA points. So if you come up on Tuesday nights at 10-ish or Fridays... you sign up for the Friday league.
What time does it start on Friday?
It's 7 o'clock on the dot. Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
We do.
When's the next league start?
It starts April.
The sign ups are and the first tournament's on the 8th, and the first night of league play is the 15th.
Yeah. Okay.
And we encourage.
Does it cost anything to get into the league? Or?
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, it's $32 for a fee, for the league fee to get in. And
where does that money go to?
Well, we'll do like a t-shirt or something.
Okay.
And then there's a prize.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so the way we do the seasons, at the end of the season, we pay out first, second, and third place. And then we have a tournament based on how well you do. But we split it to an A division and a B division. That way, the people that come in and are casual pinball players don't have
to
play Janet, the queen of Louisville, on pinball machines. So that's how we split it up. We do an A division and a B division. You know, like the past one, we had 24 people. So 12 people on A division, 12 people on B division. And we pay out first, second, and third in that tournament as well. So it's 8 weeks. And then right after that, we have a little tournament.
So the queen of Louisville, you said you're also in a tournament at some point, or was this recently? Or
no, it was many years ago. I started
they
played
on Bagatelles.
What do you say?
Bagatelles.
He needs to be hit real hard. I had been playing pinball since 1986. Got really serious about it in the early 90s, and then super serious about it when I don't know. You're awfully young. I don't know if you know who Richard Shapiro is.
I do not. I was born in 82.
Yeah. Richard Shapiro was a lawyer in Louisville.
Oh.
And
somebody was telling me about Richard. I think
he
was
very big into
David
pinball.
Bouchermont was telling me about him.
And when I was in college, my friends and I would go to all the bars and play pinball. And then if I got lucky, I'd make a couple bucks at night, you know, playing pinball against people. And so I met Richard at Shenanigans on Norris Place, and we were playing Twilight Zone. And after I totally destroyed the game,
Richard came up to me and asked me if I had ever considered playing in a tournament. And I told him that I didn't think I was consistent enough, blah, blah, blah. He talked me into it. I went up to Chicago for Pinball Expo 1992 or 93, I think, blind. I had never heard of a tournament before. I'd never been to a tournament before. And the only person I knew there was Richard. And I knew him for like 3 weeks. So my roommate financed my trip. I went, I played the worst pinball of my life, swore that I'd never play again because I sucked so bad. And then as soon as we got home, I went back to the Outlook Inn and started playing again. Went back the next year.
Wait, does Outlook Inn, they, Outlook, do they have pinball
oh,
now?
Oh, yeah. They have two machines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like on that backside with like the pool table and shit.
Well, they have one working machine and then an AC/DC that never works.
The AC/DC works.
Beer isn't working.
Well, anyway, currently. Outlook Inn used to always has always been a pinball location because the owner likes pinball. So they always have at least one or two pinball machines. Ralph. Anyway, so I went back there, started playing again, went back to Expo the next year, took third place in the women's division.
Nice.
1995, decided to go to the World Tournament in with Papa Five Tournament, which they called the World Tournament at the time, in New York. And I took fifth place in the women's division at Papa Five. And then 1995 Expo, I won that one for the women's division.
What?
So, yeah.
I'm still better.
Is that a big deal?
So I have.
That was huge.
Story for a second, just to explain to Mike what.
No, not to me, to my audience. So my vast.
The Chicago Pinball Expo is like the mecca for pinball players. It's like you pilgrimage to the Chicago Expo to go and hang out with other pinball enthusiasts.
Sure.
And
that's what she was referring to when she said the word expo. That's what Chris is explaining right now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm trying to say, so expo, when we say expo,
you're elaborating
like the,
on Janet's.
It's like the Dragon Con, the San Diego Comic Con of pinball. Like, the that's Gen where Con you go. Yeah.
Gen Con, there you go.
Gen Con of pinball.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've trophied six times at Pinball Expo in Chicago.
What?
I took fifth at Papa Five in New York City. I won the... I took second place in the Vintage Tournament and first place in the regular tournament women's division of the Fabulous Fantasy Tournament 1999 at Anaheim, California. So those are...
Holy
Those
shit.
Are my big wins.
So, like, yeah, when I asked today. If you were going to, if you had played in a tournament before, I was like, like one tournament.
Yeah.
You just had a fucking elaborate resume of tournaments you played in.
Those were tournament wins, not just tournaments.
But you can't place higher than me in the league, which is funny.
Uh oh.
I love Janet. She's awesome. I'm just kidding.
That was a heavy sigh for those of you that couldn't see me in an eye roll.
Janet's been rolling her eyes the whole podcast at you guys.
One thing I would like to tell people that are coming out to play pinball that haven't done it before is since we've started this, Chris and I and Ants has seen people start that were scared to play, and we like our friends that finally got up the nerve to come up and play with us because they think we're great at this, and we're really not. Well, at least I'm not. And I've seen people like Brian, you know, he didn't know that he would do both flippers at the same time, you know, like a kid would do at a pinball machine.
Yeah.
And now he's kicking people's butts and he's winning tournaments, you know? I mean, I'm just saying the learning curve on it is not as steep as people might think it would be.
Jason's making the point I was trying to say earlier. Well, I want to clarify, you know, when I said someone could walk up to a machine and win just by, you know, flailing around on it, you know, you got to take that with a grain of salt. They're not going to do that against a seasoned player. It's just like playing foosball. You know, you walk up to a table. You're not going to just spin the rods and whack the ball around against somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Same thing in pinball. But pinball is a different beast. There is a lot of luck, no matter how you want to slice it and dice it. There is a lot of luck with pinball. We'll do these Tuesday night tournaments, and a person that's never played pinball in their entire life will walk away with the prize because they got lucky that night. It's just, there's no way around that.
There's nothing I hate more than on Tuesday nights, somebody walking up to me being like, I've never played pinball before because I know that I'm going to lose to them right after
the
same.
Well, we're talking about people that don't even know how to start the game. I mean, we're
as
talking
soon as
about
people. Like, oh, I've never played before. I'm like, yep, I'm getting ready to lose.
We're talking about people that don't know that you take turns during the match. You know, they'll just want to try and play your ball, and you're like, no, it's my turn. And actually, you just beat
someone
me,
pushing the coin return, trying to start the game,
hitting the coin return, sticking their keys in the game, trying to open it.
And that's one thing about league, like, or our Louisville Pinball League, that I don't want people to be discouraged. I would love for people to come out and play because it's a very social event, and we love having new people. You know, it is a commitment because you're committing to 8 weeks of Fridays, but you can miss the current format that we have. You can miss 2 weeks, and it doesn't penalize you.
Yeah,
that way. Because everybody has stuff going on.
It's like, yeah, dude, you know? there's no way I can commit to...
Yeah, but the way we have it set up now is you drop your two lowest scores. So you cannot show up for 2 weeks, and you're still... It's not going to penalize you, but it also rewards people for showing up every week.
Right.
And but it's a very social event, and you can know zero about pinball and still have fun. Like, Janet has fun all the time.
Good segue.
Thank you, Chris. I would actually like to invite any women that are interested to come out as the voice of Team V right now.
What's Team V?
Team V is all the
stands
chicks.
For vagina.
Team vagina, because there are only a few women in the league, so we decided that we would be Team V. So we root for each other, etc., and we have T-shirts. Oh. Mo and Catherine and myself have been around, you know, playing in the league, and we're there all the time, and we are the core of Team V, and we welcome any other women that want to come in to our team.
For the podcast listeners who don't have the vantage point that I have here, Team V shirts have a naked and
naked-ish.
Who's the other guy?
John.
His brother John Wedding.
Some really fucking sexy naked pictures on the back of their t-shirts.
They're shirtless. It looks like one of the Red Hot Chili Peppers video.
Dude, that's exactly what I thought. I was like,
they're like Fabio-ish.
Yeah, they
with
are.
With the flowing manes chests just all naked on her.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna lie. I got a little flustered for a little second. And any comments?
Yeah, he said, "God damn it."
No, I just kind of.
How did
speechless.
Your naked picture get on that T-shirt?
Well, a friend of mine emailed it to herself from my phone one night.
So you're just taking naked selfies?
Yeah, no, it was a professional photo shoot.
You did a professional naked photo shoot?
Yeah, well, my brother and I are really rich. We do those sort of things all the time. Just out of the public's eye.
Naked photo shoots. Just randomly done.
Someone got a hold of my personal cell phone.
So Janet, I think I interrupted you there. I apologize. You were recruiting for Team V?
We'd love to have more women in the league. The league is dominated by male geeks, right? And we'd like to have
nerds. We like to be called nerds.
Nerds.
Especially Chris.
In fact, we're
Louisville
nerds.
Louisville nerds. We'd like to have some female nerds come out and join us because Mo and Catherine and myself, we're nerd chicks, right?
Let's say there is a woman listening to the podcast right now. She's interested in pinball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our women user group is not very elaborate.
It's kind of like going to a Rush concert, right? I can go there, but
that's
okay.
Let's say there is someone, though, that is listening to the podcast currently. They're a woman. They're interested in becoming a part of Team V for the Louisville Pinball League. What do they need to do to get involved?
They need to come up to Zan's Bar on a Friday night and see Chris or Jason or any other representative of the league, and we'll get them.
Or just, like, look for a naked picture of...
Well, we don't wear our Team V shirts all the time. It would take the fun out of it.
Yeah.
Catherine will wear hers. If you see one, likely that's going to be Catherine. But, find any member of the league, and we can take you to whoever is in charge of league and get you signed up. Also, you know, I have not been averse to offering clinics for Team V members on Saturdays.
That was actually going to be my next question, is do you have like a mentor program where you help people?
I try. That's all I'm going to say.
Every single person up there is a great teacher. If someone's looking for a mentor, all they do is walk up to a machine and ask questions. Everyone's going to help them. But what I was going to tell you as far as newcomers walking in the doors, they have that we roll out the red carpet for them. You know, if there's a show going on, you say you're playing in the pinball league, you walk in free. You know,
really?
We do a lot of live music up there.
Yeah.
Pinball is just a different level, and we have certain
hours. So you're sort of a little VIP if you're a member of the pinball league.
And just the hours that they take place. You know, I do a lot of live music, like I said. We're just it's a crazy venue to have tournaments in, but from 7 to 9 is usually when the league runs. It's usually over by 9, 9:30. All my shows, the doors are at 8, shows are at 9, and it's the same thing as me saying 10-ish for my Tuesday night tournaments.
Sure.
No show ever starts till 9:30.
Yeah. Because you want people to show up. Yeah,
you know that walking in the door.
I was in a band.
If you're interested in playing pinball,
you just trick people.
You won't be turned. You won't be turned away at the door. Put it that way. Sold out show. It doesn't matter. Just tell the door guy you're coming in to play pinball and you're good.
Just don't be discouraged to come out. If you have any level of interest at all about playing pinball, come and play. Everybody is extremely nice and extremely cool, and we just have fun. It is serious at times. Yes. Especially when we get together.
I know, you guys have almost broken out into a fist on this podcast.
But it's fun, and we all, it's just a big family, and we are always extremely welcoming, and just don't be discouraged if you want to play pinball. I think the only one caveat is, you have to be 21 to play.
Because it's at a bar.
Yeah, so.
If you don't know what Zanzibar is.
Yeah, yeah. So
there's a root word in there that says it's a bar.
We are a full-blown restaurant and bar.
You have to
bar.
Be 21.
So if you're if you are with a legal guardian, you can come to Zanzibar and play all my games up until 8 o'clock p.m.
Okay.
You have to be accompanied by an adult, though.
You can be part of the league, but if you cannot be part of the league,
you can come play. You cannot be part of the league, though.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Everybody should come out and play. It's a cool thing to do. Pinball is awesome.
I was going to say, also, if you can't commit to, 6 to 8 weeks of pinball, in between all of the leagues on Fridays, we always have some tournaments, and sometimes we're experimenting with some crazy formats, like we did pin golf last Friday, where pin golf is we set the par for each machine. So at Zanzibar, there's 13 pinball machines. And we figured out what par was for each machine. Sometimes it was a score that you had to reach. You have three balls, so it's a par three course, basically.
Gotcha.
Unless you have something like 6 mil, where you have a 5 ball, and that's a par five.
It's getting really complicated.
It's just like golf. Three balls, par three, five. Yeah. So you have to reach whatever goal we set out for you on a little card on the machine, and that's a lot of fun. There's other formats we're thinking about, too, like the Price is Right format, where you get the score without going
$1
over.
$1 bomb.
Yeah, right. Exactly. One point bob or whatever.
Yeah.
Two player
side by sides.
Yeah, side by side tournament where you have a girl on one side and a guy on one side, left flipper,
individual,
right flipper.
Individual flippers, yeah.
I want
you
Jan
have to have a girl guy. No, you have to have a guy girl team and you do a side by side tournament.
Then
that's
we need more girls.
Right, exactly. There's all kinds of ideas that we've got. As far as the,
I don't want anybody listening to this thinking that there's not a lot of females that play this.
No, there is.
I mean, especially maybe not in the league, but in my tournaments,
people up there all the time.
It creeps up towards half sometimes with the amount of female and male players,
which is that's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah. It's a pretty good ratio.
And if the if it keeps growing like it is, there's so much more interest in it, especially this time with this next league. We might have to do one other night. We might have to do, look at Pinball Map, which I'm the admin for pinballmap.com. So if you're listening to this and you see a pinball machine somewhere, go to pinballmap.com. If it's not on there, please send me an email. I'm the admin.
I want to clarify something, too, as far as the mention of 13 machines in Zanzibar. That's 13 of 60 rotating machines.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, tell me briefly. Because
name every single one.
We're getting close to an hour, but briefly tell me a little bit about that.
We just, like I mentioned earlier, I have a serious problem, and I have a lot of pinball machines.
Yeah,
so
I've been in your basement.
Machine goes down on location, we move a machine in that's working, and we fix it next door. So,
like, it's always full of
It's always
of
fresh.
Machines.
Yeah.
Okay.
LouisvillePinball.com. That's where you can find us. So LouisvillePinball.com or come to Zanzibar anytime. There's usually almost always somebody from the league or somebody that knows about the league there.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to come up to Zanzibar, but you want to find out more information, it's LouisvillePinball.com.
If you don't want to come to Zanzibar,
yeah, why are you even playing in the league?
I don't care about you and you go.
Come to Zanzibar. Zanzibar, Zanzibar, Zanzibar. It's the best place in the world.
No, I mean, you guys, so we actually, Nerd Lola kind of got some shit because we were promoting drinking because, like, our role playing game event is at Kaiju.
It's Slayer Roll. Slayer Roll, right?
Yeah, Slayer Roll. There you go. Yeah. I was about to get angry, but then you
promoting drinking
yourself.
A conglomeration.
Yeah,
and
we kind of got some shit for promoting drinking, and I was like, "Well, we're adults that drink. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
You can drink in our league.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we.
But let's say someone doesn't drink, but they still want to be involved.
Oh no, there's cool. A couple of people that don't drink that are in our league.
One of the things that I do want to say about Zanzibar, mm-hmm. being a female that mm-hmm. goes up there alone, mm-hmm. is that it is one of those places that I have no problems going up there by myself. If
you mean in terms of people hitting on me
or bothering me or screwing with my car or any of those things, I've never had any of those issues at Zanzibar ever. So my husband is okay with me going to Zanzibar by myself because he knows that, you know, if somebody starts, you know, talking to me that I don't want to talk to,
sure,
then, you know,
there's 15 guys right behind you that got your back.
And it's never happened, you know, so I've been going there for, I don't know, what, 3 years now or so. And
it's a very welcoming,
it's a welcoming
place.
It's yeah. fun. You know, I've made a lot of friends. Everybody in this room is a new friend for me. And, you know, it's just a safe place for women to go by themselves.
I don't know. 10 months ago, we were voted one of the top, in the top 10 best bar arcades in the country. And that's not bullshit. It's legitimate, you know. We have a huge collection of games, super safe environment. Like Janet said, she can roll in there solo, and everyone's got her back. You know, we go out of our way to make people feel safe there.
Yeah, and I love Zanzibar. I've never been to like a pinball tournament or anything, but I've gone there for like shows and stuff. I have some friends that played show there, and I always feel like it's an awesome bar to go to and just hang out.
We just have zero tolerance for bullshit. Any assholes that are in there, immediately ejected. Any jerks in there talking.
I feel like naturally there's just, I've never really experienced. If there's ever been an asshole in there, it's probably me.
Well, we weed them out. It's a weed out deal, you know, and it happens very quickly.
I was going to say, as pinball gets more popular and there's more barcades opening up, and it's going to happen here, and it happened in Chicago. There's about four or five really big, nice barcades up there. But the best one up there is Logan Arcade. And the reason why is because Zespi, Jim, he keeps up those machines. And
he has a
passion for it. He's a collector of them. And it's just like
which
here.
Which seems like
that's what that's the, yeah,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah.
whole vibe. That's
Zanzibar our, is the is yeah. the Logan Arcade of Louisville. And it's always going to be that way because he cares about the machines. And it's a player's place. It's like if you're into pinball, go there.
It wasn't part of our business plan. Like, our machines were not part of our business plan. The arcade part of our bar was not a business-oriented deal. It was a passion. And you can feel it when you walk in the door. You know we're super weirdos about it. We're not doing it to be some 4th Street Live.
It's not a gimmick.
It's not a gimmick, It's not a... I always say it like this. It's not a business plan. It wasn't my business plan. I wanted to open up a bar. I had no idea people were going to come play games.
Just as far as the dates and stuff, April, I don't know when this is going to air, but April 8th.
Probably not.
It's
been terrible.
April 8th is league sign up. So just you want to play, come out April 8th. We'll get you signed up. You can start playing. And then the 15th is the first week of this league.
So far, it's been hovering at about 20 to 24 people.
Well, we're not a very prolific podcast. I can't imagine that you'll get a vast influx of pinball players.
Yeah. Oh, we're waiting for the bump. It's going to happen.
We're counting on
this. Louisville bump. I thought that's what it was.
Well, we're getting there.
Yeah. So April 8th, 7 o'clock. You're interested in pinball at all or you just want to have fun, that's when we're doing sign-ups for the new league. Or LouisvillePinball.com. You can check it out and just
it seems like it. It's just better to just come up there and
oh
like,
yeah absolutely just come have fun yeah. hang yeah. out with us try to beat Janet she's really good though
if Mike you think fun. You're great come try to beat Janet
that means I'm great I guess I don't know
thank you guys so much for being on the Nerd of Louisville podcast.
Thank you.
I actually what do you got?
I just want to say one more thing. If you mention this podcast walking in the door, introduce yourself to Ants, John, or Vern, and I'll buy you a beer.
That's a serious.
I'm going there tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Like, good promotion. I like that. Thanks, Ants, owner of Zan's Bar, and we hope that everyone listening to their little podcast who is vaguely interested in playing some pinball. Even if you're not going to get involved in the league, heads up to Zan's Bar, checks out their pinball games, and has a good time up at the bar. And I appreciate you guys being on the podcast, telling us a little bit about it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man. This is been fun.
It's my pleasure. You guys are funny and good-humored, and I feel like you'd be good to play pinball with.
Oh, yeah.
So with that, I'm going to sign off. We are going to have a quick little challenge, aren't we?
On next gen?
One-on-one?
We can do four players.
Holy
who's best. Let's
shit.
Do four players. Who's
oh,
best.
He's scared. He's scared of facing
No, I'll beat
He's
you.
Scared of the head-to-head.
I'll beat you either way. It doesn't matter.
Four-player
next
Star gen. Trek. No. Four-player Star Wars Episode 1.
Yeah. All right. There it is. Four-player Star Wars
Episode 1.
Episode 1. Who's winning?
She's killing me right now.
Say that again.
I have 2 million. She has 14 million.
He said I could play my extra balls. I asked him, extra balls or no extra balls? And he said extra balls, and I have 2.
Direct hit. Lock sequence initiated.
Chris gets very nervous when he plays me. Star Trek is the only game he can beat me on.
Fuck you, asshole.
Fuck you, asshole.
Take your best shot. Fire at will. Nice shot.
So Star Trek is a game that you can learn, and nobody else takes the time to learn.
This game?
No, Star Trek.
Oh, Star Trek. Okay. I think you're talking about Stargate.
Star Trek. Play Star Wars.
So what happened? Who won?
I won, of course.
I'll let her win.
I don't know if that's true.
She won.
Say it louder.
She won.
Twice in a row.
So it's official. You're way worse than Janet.
It's official. Janet's way better than Chris.
I came in second in the league, though.
Well, I feel like we just had a arena challenge, and you lost, Chris. It was good, though. I'm glad I could witness this shellacking. Yeah. Is that what we should call
it? It's pretty bad. It was rough.
Two shellackings. Two shellackings.
Good. Fantastic.